Are you content to be tied to the dock in a safe harbor when Jesus is out on the high seas? Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. Are you content being safely tied to the dock? You know, it was Oswald Chambers who once said that if you yourself do not cut the lines that tie you to the dock, God will have to use a storm to sever them and to send you out to sea. Well, in today's program, Kenneth offers a remedy to being tied and tethered to a place or to a duty. Hear now the reflection titled, You Are Needed.
Hello, everyone. It's really good to be with you again. The title of our talk today is You're Needed. That's a good thing to hear, isn't it? It gives you a sense of worth and value and importance, and especially if it's said to you by someone who's really important. I'm first going to read to you from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 28 through to 35. This is an account of what is sometimes called the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus into Jerusalem. And this ushered in the crucial series of events leading up to the death and crucifixion of Jesus on Good Friday. So here is Luke chapter 19, verse 28. When Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, Why are you losing it? Thus you shall say to him, Because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were losing the colt, the owners of it said to them, Why are you losing the colt? And they said, The Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now the triumphal entry of Jesus to Jerusalem is a significant event both in history and in prophecy. And in the account which we have just read, you will find that a young, humble donkey or a colt actually starred in the main cast of the story without really knowing it. And we are going to do something a little bit different from the ordinary today in seeing things through the eyes of this humble young donkey and how it can be our story as well. Well, the first thing we see is the scene of this donkey being tethered and tied to a post. There he was, like any other day, for as long as he can remember. You know, life so far has been like a treadmill existence for him. Now, if you have ever run on a treadmill, you will know what this feels like. You're running on the spot. You may have clocked 10 kilometers on the meter, but you haven't gone anywhere. You're exactly at the same spot, and all the time, you're exerting yourself. This is what life is like on a treadmill. So he was tethered and tied down to that place and maybe to some simple duty. It felt like being stuck in a rut of meaningless routine. This event is also recounted in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, as well as Mark's Gospel in chapter 11. And as often happens in accounts which occur in more than one Gospel, there are some interesting additional bits of information that we can find from different accounts. In Mark's account in chapter 11, verse 4, we read that this donkey was tied by the door on the street. And in the Old King James Version, I like this phrase, it was in a place where two ways met. In other words, it sounds like a street at an intersection or a junction. So here was this fellow watching the world pass by day and wondering if there is any more to life's existence than what he saw from his station in life. This could be a dead-end street, what they call a cul-de-sac. And if that's so, it can get pretty boring and quiet. Not many people go there. So if you put yourself in the shoes of this young donkey, you could be feeling like him. I'm just a young colt, you know, a stupid donkey. Maybe I will never amount to anything much. I've seen all the other donkeys passing by every day, bearing their burdens. This is their lot in life, and this is going to be my lot in life. And yet in verse 30, we read that this was a young donkey upon which no one has ever sat yet. So it looks like he was groomed for life as the other young donkeys, as a beast of burden. That's the term we use for domesticated animals to transport things. That doesn't sound like a very exciting life ahead. In fact, it's a life of bondage and burdens. There's nothing much to look forward to. And perhaps he was gripped by a sense of frustration and futility. In Matthew's account, in Matthew 21, verse 2, we read not only of this young donkey, but also its mother. There was a donkey with the colt, and perhaps she was worrying about the future of her offspring just as much. You can be old or you can be young, but if you find yourself in a place where you are thinking and worrying about what life will be like in the future, you find yourself at the very place where this donkey found itself then. Next, I want us to notice what the Lord's intention and instruction was. In verse 30, we have read that the Lord Jesus told the two disciples to go into the village opposite you, and as you enter, this is what you'll find, a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. And these were his specific instructions about what they should do to the colt. And listen to this. Loose it and bring it here. Loose and bring. This is what the Lord's intention and instruction was. To loose him and to bring him here. In other words, to liberate and to set free from where you are now in order to bring you to a new master. Well, if the donkey had heard it, I guess its heart would have jumped and maybe missed the beat. It must be wondering, what can this mean? And who can this be who's giving these authoritative instructions? And suddenly there is a gleam of hope and a glimmer of light in its eyes. I mean, this is not me trying to break free on my own, to try to find my own way or to do my own thing or to make my own niche in life. After all, how long can that last? How far can I go before these people will come after me and get me back again? I may go free for a while, but they'll get me back and I will be tied and tethered to the same spot again. And suddenly there's this great surge of longing to be loosed and to be liberated because of the possibility in the words that he had heard. Maybe for the first time in my life, I can be truly free. And free not to roam around aimlessly or to run wildly as I would like, but to be brought to a new owner, maybe to have a new home. Now that's something. Wouldn't it be cool to go to some place where you can enjoy more freedom and to be really loved by the one who owns you? Those were wonderful words which he heard, and it opened the door of his heart ajar slightly, but it was already brimming with hope and dreams. This is interesting. This is really exciting. But then there are so many questions that are beginning to surface and that need answers. Well, have no fear. The Lord knows ahead and He knows all about it. In fact, He anticipated it when He said to the two disciples in verse 31, "And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you losing it?' thus you shall say to him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.'" He understands the questions and He has prepared an answer. If anyone asks you why, you will have this endless string of questions coming from all sides, beginning from yourself, from within. And then there may be questions from others, without, from friends, from family, from onlookers, bystanders, well-wishers, all kinds of people. And like this young donkey, you may be saying, "I can hear Jesus calling me to Himself. I can see Him setting me free." But then there are these nagging questions and qualms. One says, "Are you sure?" Another says, "Do you have to do this?" Yet another says, "Must it be this way?" And I ask myself, "Why are you doing this? Lord, put to rest all my remaining doubts and questions. I really need a reason and a purpose. Give me an answer." Out of all these noises and voices, the core question that comes to me is, "Why lose Him?" And the Lord's unequivocal answer to that question, whoever may be asking that question, is simply this: "Because the Lord has need of Him." What a profound and personal answer that is. Did I hear that right? Well, those were His exact words to the two disciples in verse 31. "If anyone asks you, 'Why are you losing it?' thus you shall say to him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.'" And then in verse 32, "So those who were sent went their way and found it just as He had said to them." Those were the Lord's precise words and answer to the questions anticipated and His command to carry out. Did He mean me, this young lowly donkey? Could it be that He has need of me? How can that be? And yet He has said it, and that's enough to answer all my questions and silence the last remaining doubts that I may have. That's the purpose I seek. That's the reason I need. More than just having a new place or a new proprietor. That's the highest calling and purpose anyone can have. I really must take some time to take all this in. It's so amazing and awesome. Let me just take a deep breath and let it all sink in. I mean, who can I serve that is greater than the Lord Himself? Think of it. How awesome and amazing a privilege it is to be thus called and chosen. To realize that God wants you, God needs you, and He has a purpose for you. You can be a participant and play a part in God's great purpose. In Matthew's account, we get a clearer picture of the great prophetic significance of the purpose of God, even through this lowly donkey. In Matthew 21, verse 5, we read, "Behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." What is even more amazing is that this is a quotation from the Old Testament prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. In other words, this is something God had in mind and in His foreknowledge from long ago. And it was now being fulfilled to the last word and letter in the events leading up to the culmination of Jesus' life and ministry on the earth. at Calvary and on the cross. When we say that God has His plans and purposes for us, it doesn't mean that He has a set of arbitrary or ad hoc plans. They are not backup plans. These are plans and purposes that He had before we were born, from the foundation of the earth. For example, the prophet Jeremiah realized this when he said in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, concerning his call. This is what God said to him: "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." So it's not just an afterthought. It didn't just happen coincidentally. Jesus didn't happen to come by and, "Hey, maybe here is a donkey I could use." It was something foretold all those centuries ago and now come to pass. This is the thing that only God can do. What strikes us is the precision of His plans and purposes, because they come from a God who knows all and who knows from the beginning to the end and the end from the beginning. Well, let's get back to our story and resume where we left off. In verse 32, "So those who were sent went their way and found it just as Jesus had said to them. But as they were losing the colt, the owners of it said to them, 'Why are you losing the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of him.' And then they brought him," that is the donkey, "to Jesus. And they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And he went, and many spread their clothes on the road." Wow! So this was what the Lord had need of him for. This is pure privilege and honor. It's no burden at all. There is no greater privilege than to bear Jesus into Jerusalem, to have him as my very first passenger. Remember, this donkey never had anyone sit on him before, and this was his very first passenger. Can you just imagine that? Me fit for a king? He was called out of oblivion and obscurity to great significance. They brought him to Jesus. That is where life with purpose begins. It begins with coming to Jesus. If this strikes a chord within you, if it resonates with what is on your heart, you can come because you have been called and chosen. Let me end with a call for commitment. We often suffer from what I sometimes called exhortation exhaustion. We're constantly bombarded by challenges, but we're not changed. And that's the big problem. Now, this is not a challenge, but a chance to change. You may have done much hearing and thinking about, but there must come a time to do something. We must not be forever getting ready to live or getting ready to run, but never really starting. But I know many people also need some sort of spiritual landmark to help them seal their liberation and commitment to follow the Lord. You need something you can point to and say, "That's where it happened, and that's when it happened. Before that, I was tethered and tied down, but since then, I have been set free, no longer to live for myself, but to live for Him and to serve Him." The Lord has brought you here to this place and junction in your life to set you free and bring you to Himself. His intention and His instruction is the same: lose Him and bring Him. He doesn't want you to bear your own burdens or those burdens that have been imposed on you by other people. You're not designed to serve yourself. You're not destined to serve others, but to serve Him first. and as a result of that, to be of service to others. You can be saved from sin and saved for Him. You can be set free from your old owner, which is the devil, and have a new owner, who is Christ. Why wait when Jesus has called and commanded? Why continue being tied down in the same old spot at the same old street? You can make that commitment to Christ as your Savior and new Master today, just as I did when I was a young man of 20 years old. The crisis of conversion for me then was simply one of commitment. It was a simple choice of all or nothing, of black or white, with no shade of grey or neutrality in between. There was going to be no sitting on the fence. And on that night, I understood as never before the choice that is clearly before me. So friend, Jesus is calling, in fact commanding you, and I'm sent like the two disciples to do justice, to bring you to Jesus. And you can likewise make this prayer of response to His call today. Lord Jesus Christ, I hear your call loud and clear. This is just an ordinary day for me, but it has been an extraordinary visit and opening. I really want to respond, Lord. I want to be brought to you. I want to be loosed and set free, as you have said. I rejoice and am awed and humbled by the knowledge that you have a higher and an eternal plan and purpose for my life. I want to step in and fulfill it. So I come now and commit my life to you. You are my Savior. You are my new owner, my Lord and my Master. I want to live in order to love and to serve you. I come just as I am, because you have called. And now seal this salvation as I take by faith all the words that you have spoken. I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, the bravery of God to take us into His confidence, to take us aside and to explain what He's up to, what He is doing, and then to tell us that He has need of us. How will you respond to that call? Will you remain tied to the dock where it is safe? Or will you venture out onto the high seas where it is dangerous? But that is where Jesus is. Thank you for that word, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall, in partnership with TWR Asia. And plan to join us again when Kenneth Wong brings another reflection for us to ponder. But right now, I have several ways for which you can contact us, and we would love to hear from you. You can send us a text message to 9431-3813, or send an email to info@timesofrefreshing.asia, or send snail mail to Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore 915714. I also invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, for more information. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.